Is there anything gaudier, more glorious or heartbreaking than a good old-fashioned wedding? A wedding is sighs, a wedding is laughter. A wedding is footloose, arms in the air, clamorous enjolment. A wedding is Rama's father receiving a jolly invite from King Janaka for a bride and groom embarking on their Belvi. So kindly come with all your peoples to celebrate. This was the wedding invite sent out by Sita's father on the occasion of the marriage of his daughter to Rama. It was a joyful start to a union that was going to have its ups and downs over the years, with lengthy separations and frequent tests of loyalty. It even started with a test for which Sita was the prize.
Rama takes hold of the bow. He grips it firmly. He bends his legs and squats. He gets under the bow and pushes. And it moves. Up and away from its stand.
Just like Arthur's removal of the sword Excalibur, Rama is the only one capable of shifting Shiva's bow.
He straightens his arms, and suddenly,
this poor girl has to then put her flower garland round. It could be some random person that, you know, who's twice her age or whatever.
Bhavit Mehta is director of London's South Asian Literature Festival.
But there is this build-up to the contest where Ram has heard about Sita and has already fallen in love with her, already has a lot of admiration for her, let's say. And the same for Sita. She's heard there's this wonderful prince from Ayodhya who's come into our kingdom, and she sort of wishes that I hope he wins the contest. So almost the story becomes a bit of a love marriage in an indirect way.
I'm also very struck by the fact that there is this test for a marriage.
Jatinder Varma, creative director and founder of Tara Arts.
Part of the reason why I'm very struck is at the age of 60, I'm getting married again. And I kind of sort of think, oh my God, now what sort of test is there to accomplish? And actually, what I began to realize is that in a sense, with my partner, I've had to pass a test in myself in order to come to that moment to say, will you marry me? In a way, that's the equivalent of having to string the bow of Shiva. It's quite an immense moment. You can't undertake that willy-nilly. You've got to be absolutely sure that you are not only going to be able to lift that bow, but also string it.
So with Jatinder having found this similarity to his marriage proposal in the Ramayana, I wonder how much he'll continue referring to the story in the course of his marriage. It's a fantastic epic, but with its tests of chastity, with its kidnappings and rescues, I'm not sure how realistic a model it is for our life here today. Among guests at a wedding at the Hare Krishna temple near Watford, though, it soon became obvious that it's still a cherished guide. Beatrice Anoba has been married for 2.5 years.
I think the Ramayana really illustrates the power of a very committed couple, actually. So Lord Ram was really ready to go that extra mile to make sure that he supported Sita to the extent of having this huge war on the basis that, you know, she was disgraced. That just sent a very powerful message in today's society. There's so much fragmentation of partnerships, of families. Everyone's in their isolated unit, living a completely independent life. And I think the reminder is it's a powerful emblem, actually, for the unity between a husband and a wife, and actually how that can really support a whole family, then a community, and eventually a culture. I really admire Sita's commitment to a husband. I think one term in tradition that's used is chastity, and it really just means that when one is very much focused on their partner, trying to give and offer to that person, there's a wonderful reciprocation which their partner also tries to give and offer to their beloved. And so both of them are satisfied because both of them are trying to serve the other. That's very powerful and very inspiring for me as a wife, to think, how can I serve and assist my husband?
The role of a woman is not to be passive. It's not to be just in the back seat. It's very much to be a partner. And actually, that was seen whilst she was with Lord Ram in the forest, leaving the royal household and really putting a bit of weight into the marital bond that they had. And that's what the role is of women today, being good partners. And of course, men too, being good partners for their wives.
My name is Shefali Davda, and I'm a part of City Hindus Network.
I met Shefali and other members of the network, young professionals who organise events based on Hindu philosophy, in the central London office where Shefali works.
For me, using the Ramayana as a text, marriage as a subject as a whole does give a slight grey area in my thoughts. Not just looking at Lord Ram and Sita Ji, but also looking at Lakshman Ji and his wife Urmila Ji, who he had actually left to be with his brother, playing again that role of a good brother. But the question arises, how good of a husband is he then being to his wife Urmila? Which springs up a whole different debate altogether. But what it does reflect back to is that every marriage is different and everyone's role is different in life. Everyone's objectives are different in life. And Lakshmanji's objective in life was to be with his brother throughout thick and thin. And Ram's objective was to play the righteous son, the righteous husband. And going back to Sita's sacrifice whilst she had to go through the purity test, again, that was Rama's role to prove to society that his wife had actually not done anything ill.
After Sita's been staying in Ravana's palace for some time and Rama wins her back, he insists that she go through some sort of trial through fire.
My name's Vijay Sodhi and I'm putting together a film on the Ramayana, a feature film. It clears up a lot of doubts when you look at it from the perspective of what marriage should ideally be. Even though in today's world we look back and we see that maybe they are a little bit old-fashioned, that Ram should listen to the Dobi who's been spreading the rumours and reading the sun on what Sita got up to in Lanka. Ram plays his role as a husband and also as a king who's beholden to his people. The execution of those roles means that there isn't any sentimental attitudes towards we should always be together, we should always live together, but actually the roles are what is important and our adherence to that duty.
My name is Jayaprakash Mistry. Going back to Sita and the fire test, for that particular event, he was really influenced by what everyone else was saying in society. And I think the entire point of the Ramayana is to show that you are a human and you are susceptible to all these different angles of life. But I also do think that Ram in general sets forth guidelines. If you take a look at his father Dasarath, for example, he was married to three women. Ram, on the other hand, gets married to just one woman and he sets an example for his brothers. And you see later on in the generations, it's only one woman.
I think it's also good to look at the marriages of Rama's three younger brothers and Sita's three younger sisters. Quite conveniently, there were four sons and four daughters. Rama had won the contest and he won Sita's hand and they got married. But then there was that arrangement that, oh look, we've got three younger brothers and three younger sisters. So there was no love marriage there. It was purely a convenience to forge the kingdom of Mithila and the kingdom of Ayodhya to come together in this wonderful superpower. There were different types of marriages.
We all seem to go through this trial of fire, don't we?
Absolutely.
Are we going to have an arranged marriage or are we going to break out and do our hedonistic things or whatever we do?
Yes.
I'm joined by Anne Ballone, who wrote a version of the Ramayana.
There are definitely the marriages of breaking out and sort of making your own decisions and saying, I don't want to be following a path where my father and mother decide that I must marry my first cousin or a person who's chosen for me, who's equally of the same caste or whatever. But then there's also the marriages today that are still very much pressurised, you know, and forced, of course. Forced exists, you know.
What do you mean by pressurised? Yeah. I like that word. That's a good word.
Yeah, a young person may feel they have to be with someone who has a certain level of education, a certain amount of money coming in, you know, they must look a certain way, you know, it's a kind of checklist, you know. And then there's the other extreme, which is you are going to marry this person because that is what we do and that is what we have done for generations and you have to accept it. And in time, after the marriage, you will accept it. You know?
I wonder if people often back it up by saying, well, it happened in the Ramayana, it's going to happen in this very house.
Yes.
I know very definitely that when I was first told the stories by my mother, the subtext of it all was, this is how you're going to get married, sunshine. We will find the suitable girl for you. There are so many people, certainly within the Indian culture, who talk about love appearing after marriage. And this idea of this adventure that you see someone, you don't know them, and that's it. You are joined with them for the rest of your life. Seems to me one of the most extraordinary gambles that anyone will be asked to take.
On the marriage platform, Rama's heart-stopping moment. He observed for the first time his bride. He, who had lifted a godly bow, became woozy with fear and wonder. Would this be the beauty of the world that he had observed that day on her balcony? As he lifted her veil, to his great release, he saw once again the face that had completed his being, now complete his being once again, as he hoped it would forevermore. Impossible to imagine how she felt as she wandered upwards to observe the face, the exact same face she had once seen from her balcony, beaming at her again. The face that had made her senseless now made her deepen with ocean-scented aromas, as though she were flown atop a lotus leaf. In some of the versions, I guess the act of seeing each other is almost the act of being in divine presence or in a divine moment because you found your true loved one.
Yes.
In our kind of backgrounds, religious faith, I guess, there is that feeling sometimes, isn't it, that when your parents select somebody for you, this was destiny.
People accept that destiny, you know, people accept it willingly and enjoy their lives. You know, I remember some conversation with my father. We talked once about a relative we knew who late in life had decided that he wasn't going to live with his wife anymore. He wanted to divorce, you know. My father and another family member were just disgusted by this idea. They were like, once you are married, that is it. You know, you've been joined, you know, you don't break that union. The onus was on the man, you know, just as much as it was on the woman. This was, you know, men who were talking about how they feel that that's really important for them, you know, not to abandon the person who they've been brought together with, not out of their choice, out of what was predetermined, you know, out of what had to be.
My name's Akhandadi, a Hindu teacher and theologian. I think it's very important to recognize the unity of Sita Ram. It's a unity of their marriage, but in a devotional and higher sense, this is the unity of the Supreme Godhead, male and female in complete unity, manifesting as two in order to demonstrate aspects of love. Banishment of Sita represents an even deeper element of theology. And in Sanskrit, it is referred to as vipralamba, or separation. For us in the material world, separation is terrible. We don't want to be separated from the person we love. We want to be with them. Whereas in the spiritual context, actually separation churns the emotions that Ram and Sita are feeling for one another to an even greater, more intense state. So it's actually heightening the love between them.
It is a love story at its heart. And it's all the mapping of all the trials and tribulations of love post-marriage. And that's where I find it to be an extraordinarily intense poem.
Post-marriage. And congratulations, Jacinda. I hope post-marriage is a harmonious one.